an adult in their life are more likely to make it. So make a pledge. Tutor a child who needs help. Mentor a kid who needs someone on their side. Volunteer to read to children. Because the path to success or failure starts long before graduation day. And the difference between a graduate and a dropout could be you. Take the pledge to volunteer now at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Well, good morning and welcome to Saturday in the Studio. I'm Tom King along with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau. We are live to take your financial questions this morning. 715-845-2155. And no, we don't have any answers as to what is the most reasonable Christmas gift to get someone. Not those kind of financial questions.
Well, I know what the most unreasonable Christmas gift is. I think I bought one.
Okay. Well, we have neither one of us won the big Mega Millions lottery last week, so we are here.
we did not. We are here, and we are ready to go. You know, one of the big articles that pops out right off the bat on MarketWatch.com, which is a website, folks, that we look at for information for the show. Not that there's not better that are out there, but I'm just trying to limp Tom through, and after doing this for 13 years, he finally got this website, so I brought a more complicated one, folks, and he started getting lost.
Okay.
in here, they pop up right away, and they say, top 10 money-making investment ideas for 2014. And I popped onto this, and in MarketWatch.com has come to like a top 10 list of everything in the world. But there's a number of things in here that seem to make a lot of sense, and I wanted to brush by that just a little bit on some of the things that they talked about. You know, for 2013 coming into 2014, a couple of different things are happening. One of them is, I don't know if you ever noticed that the stock market went up this past year. Well, I think everybody has. Yeah, we see the Dow has gone up considerably, and I've had so many people say, boy, is the Dow going to continue on its pace? No, I highly doubt it. We've had a great year this year inside of the Dow, for example. And one of the reasons for it is we had such a terrible year in 2012. It really did nothing. And so we had about 2 years worth of growth or some catch-up. Now, that being said, of course, we saw the big near 300-point jump that happened inside of Thursday. We'll get deeper into that. But it appears as though we're going to continue to have some growth. And they talk about it in here that we appears as though we're going to continue to have some growth again for next year. But what are we going to have, 30% for the S&P 500 and some 20% for the Dow next year? I'd have to say probably not, but things look pretty good to continue to have some growth coming up for next year. So it's important for us to note that U.S. stocks, and this is the article that's in here, and oh my goodness, I forgot the site, the person who wrote the article. We'll come to that. Jonathan Burton, called 10 Money-Making Investment Ideas for 2014. There, now all my compliance friends are happy. So with that then, look at the stock market to continue growth as compared to this article, but at a more reasonable rate. And the other thing is bonds get riskier. Now, interesting enough, we take a look at what happened with the 10-year interest rates. And the 10-year interest rates and the 10-year Treasury notes is kind of the backbone of where interest rates are going and what's happening. And those interest rates have been climbing a little bit throughout the course of the last couple of months. And, of course, no surprise, on Thursday, when the Fed announced it's going to ease some of the tapering, that puts some competition back into the marketplace, and it's going to drive up interest rates, and that's exactly what occurred.
Were you surprised that when they did make that announcement, because we've been hearing for months that if and when that announcement came, the market would struggle with that news?
But we'll go the opposite.
But it went up.
Yeah, we actually talked about it in this program probably at about a month ago or so, just before we started having the hunting holiday. Yes, that's a holiday, not Thanksgiving. But,
yes.
You know, one of the things that happens, and this is what's occurring here, is that the tapering, when that falls off, is going to drive up yields because it's going to put some competition on who's going to end up paying the lesser price or the better price, whichever the case may be, for the bonds that the Fed is buying currently. So what typically ends up happening is that when interest rates go up and the value of bonds start coming back down, people start leaving out of the bond portfolios, and they have to have some place to go, and guess where they go? They go into, of course, the stock market. So that had something to do with it. Additionally, at the same time, we had the third quarter results for GDP, gross domestic product, revised up to, I think it was from 3.4% to 4.1%. And so that shows two different things then to me. And it makes perfectly good sense that the market jumped up like this. One is if we didn't see the GDP go up and we saw the tapering, I think we would have saw the market come back a little bit. But with the tapering coming up, people look forward to saying, well, money's going to leave the bond marketplace, go into the stock marketplace and start driving it. The second part is our economy's coming along okay? So not getting into this deeper at this particular point in time, but the economy's coming along okay. It's going to continue to keep pushing stuff forward. And so people said, well, geez, now there's going to be more money going into the stock market, leaving the bond marketplace inside of an economy that's expanding and growing consumer sentiment going forward. And so no surprise to me. But the biggest thing that I wanted out of this, and I'm really happy about, and we've been buying, by the way, in our office all week long. The biggest thing I liked about this is one thing, and that is it takes some of the, what's going to happen out of it. We don't like the uncertainty, and so the certainty is that the tapering is going to continue on, and I think that also lends to a lot of great things that happened in the marketplace this week. So with this, looking for 2014, you know, some of the big cap stocks tend to do better. If you have a stock market that's slowing or something of this nature, and I don't think our slow market's going to slow, folks. I think it's going to come back to more of a normalcy. This year was abnormal. That was growing so quickly. Some of your larger names, and this is the ones that are sitting on the poster of this program, not any that I'm recommending, folks. They're saying making investment ideas for 2014. The big cap stocks tend to do better if things start bouncing around a little bit, such as Microsoft, Johnson & Johnson, McDonald's, ExxonMobil, Coca-Cola. Also putting inside of your Apple. And, again, this is part of this article, not recommendations. So a couple of them that I thought were interesting, and I agree with wholeheartedly, is Europe. We have to look at Europe. Europe is really coming along. I mean, our international accounts over the course of the past 2 years have been doing okay. Not great, but they've been doing okay, as of course we saw the Dow and the S&P 500, NASDAQ doing so well this past 2 years. But the international marketplace is really starting to come along. It's starting to open its head back up. It's starting to do whatever they need to do to get stuff done. And so with it, we have to look at the international community for some investments coming forward. We see Japan continues to rebound coming forward. One of the biggest things that's starting to pop up here is the Made in America banner. That flag is starting to wave once again. We're starting to see people saying, well, for Christmas, buy one thing made in America. So with that, that's starting to help around. People are saying, let's do that. We could also put some more jobs in America if we're buying at least one thing in our Christmas tree that's made in America. So that Made in America banner is starting to wave. That does a couple of things. One does not only build jobs, but it continues to help the economy. With it, of course, it makes you feel good to keep some money home, keep some money local.
One of the other mantras you've been hearing is the buy local campaign. And yep. How does that affect the big cap stock that you talk about if people are buying their presents or buying their merchandise, buying their food, whatever the case may be, locally instead of buying sure. from the big multinational corporations?
Well, it gives them the profit locally and helps your local community. Ultimately, those large companies are still going to get their goods and services because they have some things, some goods and services that we may not be able to receive anywhere else. So they're still going to continue to get some of the money coming along the way. But if you have the ability to buy your widget machine from one of the big names or you have the ability to buy it locally, buying it locally is going to help expand the local economy. Ultimately, if it's another widget machine from somebody else or if it's going to be a widget times two machine, the big box companies may still very well, and they're still going to continue to get their money. But buying local helps that economic multiplier effect. If we remember, we talked about that last week. Mm-hmm. You know, Tom, one of the biggest things, and this is number eight, page number eight, at least number seven, as far as our top 10 money-making investment ideas for 2014, an article from MarketWatch.com, is that U.S. energy independence continues to keep growing and powering up. And I can't tell you how important this is, folks. You know, if you want to reduce taxes, you can either reduce taxes, and the whole idea about reducing taxes that puts more money inside of your hand, that you have the ability to spend. And, Tom, Mom called. She wants you to go to the casino and help her out a little bit. So I'm just letting you know. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
gee, thanks.
So if you have some discretionary money, Tom, help Mom out, would you? I'd appreciate that a great deal. So anyway, the second thing you can do.
What is discretionary that you speak of?
What's that?
What is this word discretionary that you speak of?
Well, here it is. Yeah. You know, what happens, the other way you can do that is put more money inside of a person's hand, which acts like a tax reduction, is a reduction of fuel prices. You know, we again this year have more oil that we've produced than we need in America, and we're exporting oil and gasoline from America to other countries. We haven't seen that happen since the 40s, folks, especially gasoline that we did last year. We haven't done that since 1947. I believe that was 47. So that reduction of oil prices, in addition to everything else, acts that we're having reduced expenses in our household, more discretionary income, and an expanding economy, I think this continues to lend itself to do some tremendous things. Gold and metals, boy, you know, gold just got clobbered this year, down 29% for gold. Gold has that volatility, and we had talked about it to begin, traditionally gold, and we're seeing oil prices also go down. Gold acts as a hedge during an inflationary environment, and so many people thought we're going to have an inflationary environment. And I'm not saying that we're not going to at some point in time, folks, but right now inflation appears to be pretty much off the table. And as a result of what we're seeing gold do what gold does during an expanding economy, people leave gold and say, well, we're going to go over here and go into the stock market because it's better. So gold hitting, you know, 29% low, down at some $1,200 an ounce. Is gold going to be a good buy for the long term? And I just had somebody ask me that question. They said, should we buy gold? I said, you know, I don't have a problem with a person buying gold, but if you're going to buy it, plan on keeping it in your pocket, your drawer, wherever it is for 5 years before you take it back out and decide you want to sell it, because then by that point in time, you'll have not only made up the cost for the premium you buy it for, and hopefully to recover the discount that you have to sell it for, but you've given enough time along the way. Now, inside of this article, they seem to believe that it could actually come down even more as far as cost goes, and this adds David Rosenberg, chief economist and strategist for Toronto-based money manager Gliskin, Schiff and Associates, part of this same article. Continuing on, one of the things I really like about this is that we have to look at the bank stocks. Folks, banks are making money, don't get me wrong. There's a thing that's called, and we talk about it on here, the M1 money supply, which is essentially your savings accounts, money market accounts, checking, et cetera, et cetera. Well, with that, interest rates going up a little bit on the 10-year also means that mortgages and loans are going to go up. But what do you think the probability is that the interest rate on your M1 money supply, checking, savings, CDs, et cetera, are going to go up?
Probably
not so much. I mean, at least not in any time in the near future. So that being the case, then what's going to happen is you're going to see this what's called spreads, the widening between the M1 money supply and that money that the bank reloans back up become larger. And as the interest rates get larger, guess what happens to the banks? Of course, they make some more money as it comes along. So watch for some of the banking stock, it says inside of this article. I don't think that's all that bad of an idea. In here it says we should not only look at the U.S., but we should look at U.K., many banks instead of Europe. They're trading below book value. Which book value means if you have a fire sale of all the assets, that's the book value. So there's a lot of UK and international stocks that are trading below book value as far as international banking stocks. And with that, we have some opportunity, says, I just lost his name, that would be Rudolf Reid Jonas. I have no idea, but he's a co-manager of RSQ International Equity Fund. He favors taking a look at the banks that's out of Spain and UK as this article goes. Now, finishing up here, the last one is consumer stocks tend to cash in. For the first time in a long time, we're seeing a couple things happen. One of them is people have a certain amount of belief that if they leave job A, there's going to be a better place at job B for them. So we're seeing record amounts of that, and how we actually see that is a measure of how many people are quitting their jobs. There's a bit of a confidence. So as a result of some of those things, the economy continuing to grow, we're starting to see people going out and buying cars and clothing and taking cruises and spending money on their electronics and appliances, et cetera, et cetera. And so these things continue to grow forward, makes it so that the consumer stocks do well. Helps put the money inside of the economy. We get that economic multiplier effect, and it continues to keep growing forward. So all that said, I'm pretty excited where the economy is going, and I think we still continue to see some growth in the marketplace, albeit I don't see it at the speed that we saw it in 2013.
All right, 715-845-2155. We are here to take your questions as well. Give us a call here this morning if you have a question for Merle Kelch. Back in a moment on WSAU.
To give one special gift to a runner, biker, golfer, or sailor, a pilot, car driver, or outdoor explorer. Give a Garmin and get thank you.
Give a, give a, give a, give a Garmin. Give a, give a, give a, give a Garmin. Find something fun for everyone. Garmin.com, Garmin.com.
Nurse, I need you to apply pressure to the head wound until I can get to it. I'm concerned she's lost too much blood.
Oh, no.
You in the corner, who are you? You're not supposed to be here.
She's my girlfriend, Doctor.
You need to wait out in the waiting room.
Please, Doctor, I want to stay with her.
Look, she's been badly injured. So if you want to do what's best for her, you need to let us do our work.
Please, Doctor, she has to be okay. I didn't mean to do this. I love her.
Wait a second. You were the driver?
Yes, but I didn't mean to. I swear, we went to dinner. I was just buzzed. I only had a few drinks.
Just buzzed? Why didn't you tell us that? In that case, your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great. You want to get out of here?
I can't believe this. Really, Doctor? She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No, not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, the Ad Council, and this station.
Take a look under your bed. Find stuff under there? What about jobs? No? Now try your basement. There's a pair of overalls that, overall, you're not so into anymore. A perfectly good laptop that hasn't seen your lap in months. And even more stuff. But still no jobs? Well, you really have both. See, stuff is defined as household articles considered as a group. Sometimes this stuff is no longer needed. Wait, no longer needed? That can't be right. Because remember those jobs you were looking for? Those are really needed. And they're the stuff inside your stuff. Even inside that winter coat that moved with you to Phoenix. Our job is to unlock those jobs. And it starts when you donate your stuff to your local Goodwill. Here's how we do it. When you donate to Goodwill, we sell your stuff to provide job training for people right here in your community. So just by teaming up with Goodwill, you help create jobs. And isn't that worth parting with the leftover keytar from your 80s cover band? Goodwill. Donate stuff. Create jobs. Find your nearest donation center at goodwill.org. A message from Goodwill and the Ad Council.
What does the crystal ball say, dear?
Little Johnny has been a good boy.
At the top and bottom of the hour, we'll shake our crystal ball and give you a news update.
Shake it again, honey.
We're going to do everything we can to help the Americans who've received these cancellation notices.
Yeah, right.
Check in for a news update.
Order some more coal.
So much for the new golf clubs he wanted.
Good one, Mama.
WSAU and WSAU.com.
WSAU, we're back here in the studio. I'm Tom King, along with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates, taking your questions today on your financial situation. And as we head toward the end of the year, of course, in the next week or so, we're going to be seeing a lot of year-end lists, looking back at 2013, looking ahead to 2014, and we just finished up with one, and now you've got another one for us.
I have another that I think is worthy to look at, and it's called Five Money Moves to Make Before January, which, of course, we don't have a lot of time left, by Charles Passy. I don't think he says Passy because that rhymed with gassy, and he was probably teased in grade school.
Yeah.
So Charles Passy, I imagine him having a little French mustache and a beret with one of those cigarette sticks and the smoke that sticks way out, having a tea. Anyway, a couple of things on the inside they talk about is, first one is dump some of the losers inside of your portfolio. You still have time to do so. If we take a look at a couple of things that have happened throughout the course of this year, one is the capital gains tax going up, which is going to help cause some trouble with taxes and mutual funds, of course, the new tax brackets, all these sort of things coming in. If you have some losers inside of your portfolio, it may make sense for you to trim them, sell some of them off. Now, there may not be a lot of those inside of there, but if we can sell some, we can not only use them to help offset some of the capital gains that we might find instead of some of the mutual funds that we have, non-IRA mutual funds, but also we might be able to have it so we can book that loss going out into future years. Now, that being said, which is not in this article, let me add to it, there's a thing called wash rules, or selling a stock to capture the gains and then repurchasing the stock back out again. Of course, the risk in that is if the stock continues to keep going up once you've sold it. But if you have Company A and you decide, well, Company A is great, I love Company A, but it's down right now, I think it's going to go back up, I have confidence in that, you might want to sell it now, take the loss, wait 30 days, and then buy it back again, and thereby having it back in your portfolio. Hopefully the stock price doesn't go up. It'd be awesome if the stock price went down, you got to buy it back cheaper. But in that, you get the chance to book the loss and still own the stock after a month. So some of the things we may want to look at. But booking some of the loss may not be all that bad of an idea to try to reduce some of our income. So reducing the income, which is the second one, come to terms with the new tax brackets that are out there. The top tax bracket, and Tom, I know you're in here, is for married individuals earning $450,000 plus. The new tax bracket is now 39.6% versus 35%. So you need to know that. And if your investments are too high, Tom, you're going to have an additional 3.8% tax on top of that. Just because you're evil and you make too much money is the reason for that. All right, that being said,
that's probably not the reason for it, but you know.
Well, everybody who makes that much money is. We all know this, Tom.
Okay.
All right, I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek and being facetious, of course. So in here, a couple of things we need to know, and again, one is if we can book some losses to try to keep our income below that, we can hopefully save ourselves from the excise if that's the case, if we've been blessed enough, or hopefully keep some of those top dollars in a lesser tax bracket. Now, one thing that is still out there on the table, and I'm not advertising this, I want you to talk to your financial advisor, and I want you to talk to your accountant about this. But remember, if we're trying to control some of our tax, our income up and down, if we have the ability, there's certain types of investments that are out there that use intangible drilling cost write-offs, primarily in the oil and gas field, and they do have some volatility and have some risk to them. Know that. But there's some ways that you can help start helping taxes using some of those types of programs. Talk to your financial advisor. Talk to your accountant. Don't run out and do them and say they're for you, as is for a small percentage of the population. But there are some other ways in which you can help reduce some of your income to help keep you under some of those tax brackets if you're close, for those of you that are blessed enough to be the case. Now, Tom, you may want to know this one, but you have the ability to give to your favorite charity.
Mm-hmm.
And you can directly go right from your IRA and give it right to your charity, which is fantastic. You don't save any taxes. But interesting enough, you don't pay any taxes either, but you can just give right from your retirement and give it to the charity should you choose. And so you have the ability to do that. But you're limited to $100,000, so that's all you can give this year, Tom,
okay,
in that type of an instance. Buy a new car. You're ready to go, Tom. Next year in 2014, we no longer can itemize our state taxes against our federal income. So that being the case, go out and buy that new Lincoln you've been wanting now so you can write off the interest prior to 2014. I'm full of a lot of ideas.
Yeah, you are full of a lot of something. But
your lovely bride should be listening to this program.
Right.
Should make you work harder.
Right.
Just because of my advice.
Uh-huh.
And finally, another one, your kids will listen to this one, give your kids a big holiday gift. In 2013, their gift can go is now from $13,000, was increased to $14,000 that you can give off to whomever you would like to, and it bypasses, of course, any sort of federal gift tax. But just to let you know, Tom, the kids have to cash the check before January 1st. I'm fairly certain if you gave them a check for $14,000, that'd be the case. In fact, I don't think the ink would dry before it would already be cashed.
Right.
And the car dealership would be their new best friend, I am guessing. So that being said, folks, give us a call, 715-845-2155.
Yeah, we need
call
to take-
soon, or you're going to be getting another list.
All right.
Coming up.
We're going to take a break for some news, though, and then we'll come back. The phone lines are open. If you have a question for Merle, give us a call before you head out on your last weekend of shopping before Christmas. Give us a call here this morning. We'll be right back on WSAU.
Wow, yeah, since the storm, it's been crazy busy for us. We got all kinds of office desks coming in. Now, here's a fancy one right here. It's missing a leg, but that's all right. Whatever. Washers and dryers from a laundromat. Oh, wow, check this out. Another deep fryer. And I'm not sure what this doohickey is. Yeah, most businesses weren't ready for a storm like that, you know. But our work's really piling up here at Roberts & Son Salvage.
What will become of your business after a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
It's 6:42 p.m. Time for Steve Plato and his son Dylan to do the dishes. They talk about everything from the yuckiness of girls to the awesomeness of his soccer team. Sometimes they don't talk at all. Then,
hey!
The dreaded splash fight. It's dad o'clock, and it's the best time of the day. Because the smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
News now from AM 550, FM 99.9. WSAU.
I'm Tom King, WSAU News. Astronauts are beginning a series of spacewalks today to fix an ailing cooling pump on the International Space Station. Two Rhode Island residents are filing a nationwide class action lawsuit against Target over the retailer's massive data breach. Six communities received grants from the Wisconsin Economic Development Corporation to help prepare idle industrial sites for redevelopment. Wausau and Port Edwards were two of them. Port Edwards officials plan to use the money to help pay for remediation and site work at the former Domtar paper mill. In Wausau, Marianne Grote says it's earmarked for a long vacant downtown property.
Mainly it's to help us improve the riverfront on the property that we purchased north of Scott Street.
The property is between the Dudley Tower and the Eye Clinic of Wisconsin on the east bank of the river. The grant process was very competitive, and Grote believes Wausau's other progress helped make it one of the WEDC's grant winners.
I think that was one of the reasons why we ranked as high as we did, is because we are in the midst of the site prep and remediation right now. And we've assembled quite a few other grants to help us. So we'll start right away this spring.
Wisconsin sophomore running back Melvin Gordon announced yesterday he will return for his junior season. The Maxwell and Doak Walker Award semifinalist says after talking with coaches, there's still room to grow at the university. Packer quarterback Aaron Rodgers will miss his seventh game this season. Mike McCarthy announced yesterday that the injured quarterback's collarbone has not been medically cleared to play. Wisconsin is on a tear at this year's volleyball tournament. They'll play for a national championship tonight against Penn State. The weather forecast today, we're looking for cloudy and quiet throughout the day with a high of 25. Some snow possibly moving in tonight and a low down to 15. Most of the heavy weather will be to our south. For tomorrow, windy, some times of snow, high 21. Monday, a few flurries, colder with a high of 10 above. I'm Tom King, Central Wisconsin's Fox News station, WSAU.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by FeedThePig.org.
Well, I finally did it. My student loan is totally paid off.
I can't believe it.
I can't believe it either. I paid more than the minimum each month, and soon enough, it was gone.
So you're just giving up?
Giving up on what?
The life of luxury. Egyptian cotton, caviar Thursdays, designer everything.
What are you talking about?
Our plan. What happened to winning the lottery and mastering the art of the perfect mimosa? Hosting galas, wearing enough jewelry to require a bodyguard, vacationing in the French Riviera, and then buying it.
I just thought maybe it was time to prepare for my future. You know, set some financial goals, make some smart investments, open a 401k.
Financial goals? Investments? A 401k? You are horrifying right now. Listen, if winning the lottery were easy, everyone would do it.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Here's Santa. I want all the packs of Telepod, a blue bicycle, a dragon.
It's the time of year we relive our childhood through our kids.
Santa bring mommy a little more pairs of shoes.
And Christmas wishes replace the day-to-day news in our heads.
I love Santa Claus.
When you're ready to plug back into the world, we'll be here with our bells on.
Merry Christmas.
Happy Holidays.
News Talk, WSAU.
Back here in the studio, I'm Tom King, along with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau, and we are here to take your questions, 715-845-2155, the number to call.
Folks, the opinions voiced on this show are for general information only, not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. This show contains forward-looking statements which may not be true. Securities Investment Advisory Services offered through HBEC Incorporated. Member FINRA SIPC. HBEC Incorporated and Kelson Associates are unaffiliated company, and folks, this program is intended for Wisconsin residents only.
All right, let's go to the phone here this morning. Good morning. Who are we talking to?
Tony.
Hey, Tony, you're on with Merle. Go ahead.
Morning, Tony.
Good morning. Say, I just wanted your opinion. I think I know what it is. Some of your conservative talk show hosts have been ranting and raving about a big, big bubble due to the federal stimulus, buying of bonds and printing of money, including Jerry Bader, Tom's associate, and Rush Limbaugh. In the last couple of weeks, they both have done rants on the great big bubble in the market, that the market levels are artificially inflated and that we're just waiting for a big crash. And a day doesn't go by that you don't hear this same theory, including a lot of the ads where they want to sell alternative investment products.
Yeah, well, skip the ads because that's what they're going to do anyway.
I know, but what is your opinion? All these conservatives.
You know, there's a number of economists that are out there that look around, and everybody can have an opinion. I like to look at the data. In my opinion, there's an economist out there I like a great deal, and this guy tends to be spot on about a lot of things. He's number of accolades. He's won Economist of the Year a number of different times. But Brian Westbury, out of First Trust, out of Chicago. And And his opinion is one that I share the same thing. You know, we have a trading range that the stock market is in. So if it's got a low, and I'm making up a number here, Tony, but you'll see my point. If the low right now for the range is 15,500 and the high is 16,250, so we're right about there right now. If that's the range, and I don't know if that's what it is, but you'll see my point.
Right.
We're going to go up and down with that range. I mean, it's just a normal volatility of being in the investment world and business.
Right.
So with it, that range is going to go up and down as well. And so is that range going to come crashing down 2,000 points tomorrow? I don't think so. There's too much economic data supporting that range is where it's supposed to be. Now, what things then support that type of a range, and how do we make it go higher? Well, if we took a look at the stock market, everybody said in 1987 the stock market's done, it can't go this high, we're going to have a bubble, everything fell apart. Well, of course, stock market dropped some 25%. It was back up again by the end of the year. So, and people said the market was too high. Every year that the market hits highs, people say it's too high. So we have to look at the underlying data. You know, one is we have a reduction of fuel prices as a result of our ability to create a bunch of it. So that in itself acts as a stimulus inside of the economy. The overall interest rates inside of the economy right now are also stimulative. So that's going to continue to keep having expansion of our overall economic growth. We now see proof that we have expansion of our economic growth. Okay, makes sense. And we also now see there's a high probability we're going to have a large influx of additional money going into the marketplace, leaving the bond marketplace as a result of the tapering. Right. So then we take a look at forward-looking in our ISM numbers, the Institute for Supply Side Management, looking forward and saying, are we buying expansion or contraction over the course of the next 6 months? And that number is saying we're buying for expansion. So the economy, the marketplace is looking ahead for the next 6 months. We see real estate, number one sector of the economy this past quarter, up 6.1%. I mean, we can keep going down the list. And so everything points to the fact that where our range is, that the economy is catching up to support the range and probably move it forward versus that range being too high and companies not having enough profit that range has to come down. Does that make sense?
Right. So it's artificially inflated that these guys are ranting about, you don't agree with.
Well, I agree with one thing, Tony, and I think that it was artificially inflated until the economy started growing to catch up to it. Does that make sense?
Okay, right.
I agree. I don't foresee, and it could have happened, absolutely could happen, but do I see like a 2,000-point drop or you know, a 3,000-point drop and we'll be at 14,000 or 13,500? I just don't see it. I just don't see it from an economic standpoint.
I was going to call Jerry Bader after his rant and ask him where he's investing his money.
Oh,
if he's afraid of a big crash.
You should do that. I would be interested in hearing that. You should do that on Monday.
Well, Tom, you don't give him investment advice, huh?
No, I don't give anybody investment advice. All they have to do is look at my portfolio and realize they wouldn't take advice from me.
He seems 100% convinced it's going to happen.
Well, with all due respect, Jerry is 100% convinced of everything that he says.
And,
you know, I understand where he's coming from, but, I mean, that goes with the territory.
I'll call him up and ask him.
All right. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Tony.
715-8. I'm in trouble now. 715-845-2155 is the number to call here. If you have a question for Merle, give us a call. We're talking about year-end stuff. And MarketWatch, you know, has another little story here. Suggestion by, I'm trying to see who these money managers are. Three great ways to dress up your portfolio for year's end. And I wanted to just touch on a little bit. They say take advantage of the January effect.
Yeah.
Now, that's the phenomenon that makes prices of certain stocks rise more in January than the market averages. I guess talk about that a little bit. What is that? Why does it happen? And what stocks are more prevalent to the January effect than others?
Yeah. Usually, they call the January effect is usually you have your smaller mid-cap stocks. And your small and mid-cap stocks, those that stunk right at the end of the year tend to jump up quite a bit instead of January. So they call it the January effect. There used to be places that did that, and they also did like the dogs of the Dow, and those that stunk, they would, you know, buy the ones that had the worst dividend producing. Worst dividend producing meant that lowest dividend producing stocks, and they'd buy those and they'd jump up and so forth. So all these different theories would pop up, and they worked, but then as more and more people started using them, their effectiveness fell apart. Now, the January effect, the same thing. You tend to have the smaller stocks, smaller mid-cap types of stocks that did poor at the end of the year. You buy them at the end of January, they tend to jump back up and set a price after we see the Christmas season, et cetera, et cetera. So they call it the January effect. And there's some stuff that you can do with it that actually makes some money, but you have to choose the right stocks and take a look at it and do your research and homework. Do I know what stocks are going to do that? No. If I knew what stocks were going to jump up in January, I'd have some sort of a swami-looking hat and crystal ball, and there'd be pictures of me on newspapers like the Wall Street Journal. But it doesn't happen, but that's called the January effect.
One of the other things they talk about is it says prune crowded trades from your portfolio. Many stocks and ETFs move in five stages, and crowded trade is the fifth stage. And I have never heard that term before. Tell me what a crowded trade is. And
boy, you got me. I think I'd fail that quiz. I think you'd probably read a little bit more. I'm not looking at the article, so Tom.
The risk in this stage is typically much higher than generally believed. Investors who stay there welcome too long in crowded trades often give up a major portion of the gains. Newcomers to the crowded trades often get burned. I guess that would be the buying high.
We call it fear greed syndrome.
Okay.
The fear is that you don't want to. The greed is that you don't want to sell it because you think it's going to go up higher, and you don't take any profit off the table. Then you end up losing your can. Then when it's down at the bottom, you don't want to sell it because it just was higher, so you're waiting for it to go back up. The fear greed syndrome is what we always call it in school. And a direct example of this would be look at gold. Look at all the people who've been running inside of gold over the course of the last couple of years and just got fleeced this year because the last one to the party ends up taking the losses. The people along the way who were smart and got out early sold money. So if we take a look at, I can't think of his name. Oh, boy, big investor. Name's escaping me, but anyway, about a year ago, he sold $800 million worth of gold. He seems to be pretty smart right now. Oh, Soros.
George Soros. Yeah.
George Soros. And so in doing so, he seemed to be pretty smart. And at the time, the gold prices went up to some near $1,900 an ounce, so he probably missed $300 from the top. But he's looking pretty smart now since we're sitting at some $1,200 per ounce currently.
Is that a hard thing for people to do? I would imagine it is when you're telling them you need to sell some of this even though the price keeps going up and up.
It's that fear greed syndrome. You have to do stuff based upon a discipline. It was one of the first things that I taught. I had a professor in college, and I'm just going to call him Chuck because that's what we call him in school. Won't put his last name out there. But the guy was a very smart businessman, obviously, just had a problem with insider trading. Oops. Mm-hmm. Nonetheless, but really good. He said you always have to remember when you invest, he said, the fear greed syndrome. The only way you get out of fear greed syndrome is that you continue to put a price behind it that is the best price you'll sell it at, or you take a certain amount of profit or pull some of your money back off the table, which, by the way, goes into some of Jim Cramer's principles, if you remember Jim Cramer from Mad Money. So you have to be able to take some money off the table, and that's the difficult part. So, for example, George Soros, when he sold us some $800 million in gold, he probably said, when it hits this price or when I hit this amount of profit, I'm going to sell it. I'm out of here. I'm going to take my profit and runs because he had that discipline to stay in. The discipline is the most difficult thing when it comes to investing, Tom, for everybody listening, because everybody thinks that their stock is going to go through the roof, and that's okay if it goes through the roof, but as long as you have something behind it saying if this stock hits 20, I'm going to sell it. If it hits 25, I'm going to sell it. If it hits 30, I'm going to sell it. Or if it comes back to 25 or 30, but you got to have some sort of an exit strategy when you look at that.
The other thing they're suggesting is invest in Japan, and they compare the Japan Equity Fund to the S&P 500 going back to 1993. The S&P 500 since then is up 498%, whereas the Japan Equity Fund is only up 15%. And the suggestion is that with the new prime minister in Japan, Shinzo Abe, who was elected last December, and what they're calling Abenomics, showing some early signs of success, that Japan equity fund, as you like to say, has hit the floor and has nowhere to go but up, and it's a good time to start buying.
Yep, can't jump off the floor. It very well would be the case. I've only been just reading and getting a little bit of research into what's happening inside of Japan as of late. And so much information in the U.S. So even from our article that we had before as far as the places where to go and look at in 2014, they also talked about Japan and the expansion of Japan. So that might be worthy for us to take a look at, is that Japan equity funds or growth inside of Japan specific. Remember, Japan's a pretty powerful economic nation.
Third, all the trouble they've had, they're still the third biggest economy.
And they've had some problems with their economy, and the reason they had problems with their economy was more so because of cultural differences versus economic. For example, their banking system. If they take a big loss from a company or a company goes bankrupt, they don't like to write off the books because, for lack of a better term, it's disgraceful if you write off the loss, showing that you may have a loss. As we're in America, we say, oh, it's done. We're going to write it off as a loss. It gets written off as a loss of the business. We're over with it, but they continue to hang on to it. So that type of mentality had to come back in and had to change so they could write off a lot of the loans and so forth. Japan, for the longest time, had a 0% interest rate, but they couldn't give any loans because they didn't have any credit room left inside of the banking system because they're carrying so many companies and businesses. And so with that sort of stuff changing, I think Japan could be a great place to invest.
All right, 715-845-2155. We still have a few minutes here. The phone lines are open. Give us a call. We're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with more on WSAU.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. Now a stylish glass coffee table. An electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion. Because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, and you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
When you were a little kid and you thought about what you wanted to be, teaching was at the top of your list. But things changed. And as you got older, teaching didn't seem like the best option anymore. So you're thinking you'll be something else. But what would your 12-year-old self say? Now you want to be a doctor. You don't think teachers save lives? 25 at a time. An actress? Try playing a different role every time the bell rings. How about a scientist? Ever heard of physics? Chemistry? Who do you think teaches that? Teachers today are breaking down obstacles, finding innovative ways to instill old lessons, and taking learning far beyond the four walls of the classroom. It's time to recognize that great things are happening in teaching and put it back on your list. Don't try to convince yourself otherwise. You had it right the first time.
Find out how you can make more at teach.org. Make more. Teach. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Hi, this is John Greenhut, the CEO of Paraswabs. It's believed that a great smile improves your looks more than losing weight. And I know how important a great smile is during the holidays. If you want to have your aunts, uncles, nieces, and nephews in awe, then try Paraswabs. In 5 minutes, you'll see an average of 2 shades whiter teeth. Call now and try it risk-free. Dial 1-800-925-2393. That's 1-800-925-2393. 1-800-925-2393.
We will not likely see the likes of Nelson Mandela again.
I came here to cut the size of government.
As news breaks around the world and around town,
it should have required Iran to suspend uranium.
Each story is unwrapped and given to you at the top and bottom of every hour. Like little gifts of information, keeping you in the know and in the now. Because the news never stops.
We have been relentless in sending a message.
On WSAU and WSAU.com.
And we're back here in the studio. I'm Tom King along with Merle Kelch, Kelch & Associates in Wausau. Still have time for some phone calls, 715-845-2155, the number to call. What else did you want to touch on here today?
Well, let's touch upon a couple of things that are popping up. We have our old top 10 list that I want to pop up, and a few things we've already addressed, but there's a few things in here I think that make sense, especially as we're coming up to a year end. One of the biggest ones that's out here is that the Fed, of course, wants to exit that quantitative easing and stop buying the bonds. It's going to have an effect on interest rates. We've talked about it before. We still have work to go inside of our office about bond mutual funds are going to be affected in price. They've been affected throughout the course of this year, but not real bad, enough that it still had a stabilizing effect inside of a portfolio. But I think they're gonna continue to get worse from a law standpoint. So talk with your financial advisor, see if it's right for you, to see if perhaps moving away from bond mutual funds. I'm not saying bonds are bad. Folks, we've talked about it before. We've been buying municipal bonds in our office for the last several weeks, which has been the first time we've done that probably in near a year that the prices have actually come. So with the prices, interest rates going up a little bit on the 10-year and the bond prices coming down, is giving us some ability to buy and to find some buys on municipal bonds, of course, insured municipal bonds. So that being the case, watch your bond mutual funds. If you still want bonds, buying the direct bonds may be a better alternative. Again, consult your financial advisor, tax advisor prior to doing so.
Do you agree with the tapering decision? All of the Federal Reserve chairmen except for one, or the Federal Reserve presidents except for one, the guy based in Boston, voted for it. He said that he agrees with his colleagues that the economy is improving, but he didn't think it was improved enough yet to do this. But the rest disagreed and said, no, we're going to do it.
Well, that's why it's a vote in a general consensus that's out there. I mean, the guy in Boston is probably drinking a little bit. He's over at the Black Rose having some beverages. But I think it was a good idea. In fact, you know, some people say, was it stimulative or not? I think there's arguments in both directions. I don't know that it really did what it was supposed to, other than maybe holding bond prices a little higher than they should have been over a period of time. Just my opinion, my thought on that. You know, we take a look at stocks versus commodities, and U.S. equities for the first time in some time has outperformed the equities this year, and they've done it by a long shot. So it gives commodities a good chance to regain and come back again. But remember, typically you start seeing the commodities, primarily gold, silver, start to come back when you have some economic uncertainty or you start having inflationary effects. So we look at it and say, well, could it have a chance to go down even further, say gold and silver? I'm just using that as our ease and basic symbol. Yeah, it probably has the ability to come down further. But at some point in time, the price is going to be right, and we might have the ability to do that potentially coming up in 2014. Again, part of the articles that we have here in MarketWatch.com. Now, beautiful part about this time is that household net worth is rising. And finally, as it finishes up this year, it's at a five-year high. Really sparked by good economic news, including reports showing that stocks and home prices are both on the rise. Also, data, of course, is rising. Also, other data that's popping out is making consumer sentiment and worker sentiment coming up, which I think is, again, looking forward and forward-looking information, which I think is absolutely fantastic. Now, we do have a warning coming up. We have a triple top, which, of course, as the market goes up, hits a top, comes down, hits a higher top, and then a higher top. And that's usually an indication from our technical people that the stock market might come down. I'm not going to say that there's not going to be some sort of a correction coming up. It only makes sense we're going to. Usually we see corrections of, you know, 5% or sometimes more. We come down, we hit that correction, come back. We saw it happen inside of August of this past year.
Your belief is that it will come back and go even higher than later.
Yeah, I think so. Remember, we talked about that range moving. So the economy is pushing that range up. The profitability of corporations is pushing that range up and so forth. Article pops up as Obamacare raised the cost of your kids' braces. You guys can read that one on your own. I'm not commenting or talking about that. Something that I really do like about this, folks, is Microsoft Surface 2 may be a holiday hit. Tom, we've talked about this probably a year ago when we started talking about iPads. Folks, you know, a little history. When I started doing these types of programs, we would have mountains and reams of printed off paper when we came in to do the program and the radio shows. Then after a while, we got so good that we could actually bring in a laptop, of course, which is like a piece of luggage at the time. We'd have to plug it into direct hardwire within the studio to make it run. We had a laptop, and that really helped us out because now we could look at stuff live inside of the studio. Now, I don't even bring any paper in except for my notes and a tablet, and the reason is because I capture all the pictures on my iPad, and I can zip through here faster than I can with a piece of paper. It works out beautifully. Well, now, finally, and we had talked about some year ago that if some of these companies want to survive inside of the world as far as PCs, computers, et cetera, they have to be able to capture the speed and the ease of an iPad. But at the same time, I love my iPad, but it makes it difficult for me if I want to write a letter or if I want to use spreadsheets. And my business, of course, is all letters and spreadsheets and that type of thing. And I can't do that real easily on my iPad, so I still have to have my laptops and computers at the office where I can use Microsoft Office to run it. Well, finally, Microsoft comes out with a program or a device called the Surface 2. All of their versions, both the 32 and the 64 gig, are sold off the shelves. You can't get them, and it's basically an iPad that you can plug into a keyboard and has all your office products built into it. I shouldn't say iPad, a tablet, which is a better term. And I'm very excited about it. I'm thinking about getting one of these to see how it works out and how it plays for me and whether or not it may or may not be better. I don't know, but I think Microsoft finally has it right. And
Apple's going to be
foolishly.
Apple's going to be chasing that then?
I don't know if Apple's going to is going to chase it, but it certainly makes sense for them to get their word processing and Excel programs, a real version on their iPads, I think. I think we're just foolishly have, you know, Dell and HP and all these other computer makers that didn't go to this right away. They didn't think about this. Heck, we thought about it on this program some time ago because we're that smart, Tom.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, at least that's a thought. So Microsoft Surface, I think, is going to be a neat thing to look at, not only because it's got kind of a cool toy and I like those toys, but I like it not only makes sense for the Microsoft stock, but I think it becomes an industry changer again where we not only have the iPad, which is phenomenal from the internet standpoint, but now we have the ability to have that same type of an ease and have it have a certain amount of work function as well, and I think that's going to be a big hit. I think that makes a lot of sense.
All right, well, we're just about out of time. If folks want to get a hold of you on Monday, how can they do that?
Folks, I will be here in lovely, sunny Wausau, Wisconsin. At least I'm hoping that the sun will be out on Monday. 3rd Avenue and Bridge Street. Stop on in, have a cup of coffee. See if you can catch me between appointments and running around on there. And with that, you can give us a call also locally, 715-849-3600. Outside of the Wausau area at 1-866-355-5100. Or find us online at KelchandAssociates.com.
All right. Chris will be in this chair next week talking to you again, and we'll do it again next Saturday.
Very good. See you, brother.
That's Making Financial Sense with Merle Kelch. A weird Saturday today. No Badger sports on the schedule. They have the weekend off for the holidays. They'll be back to work next week. We do have Packer football, though, for you tomorrow. The Packers and the Steelers. That's a late afternoon kick, and you can catch all of the action right here with Packer game day beginning at noon tomorrow on WSAU. We've got the news. The Polka Show is on the way next on WSAU.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Nowhere to be found. Batteries.
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits.
Not packed.
No. What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones.
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library.
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids.